You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg.
May have left the seafood chain in jeopardy of bankruptcy, or at least in part. A Bloomberg report says Red Lobster is considering Chapter 11 bankruptcy because of lease and labor costs. The company also reported an $11 million loss on that endless shrimp offer. Filing for Chapter 11 means they could stay in business while the company undergoes a restructuring.
Nearby, and he invited me to come over and film his shrimp house. So, yeah.
Welcome. Yeah.
Welcome to the check house, and we're going to go inside and check out some really cool shrimp.
Now the star of the show. There is the last look at one of those shrimpies there. I do like the tail on ones better than the popcorn. Just a little bit meatier, a little bit more to it. You can see the outer part, the fried part, the This is a fast food shrimp. This isn't a shrimp that I'd get down at Margaritaville or Pineapple Willie's or Schooner's or something like that down in Panama City Beach. This is a fast food shrimp, so, you know.
Everybody, a big push in Congress to protect Mississippi Gulf shrimp and really all shrimp caught around America from those cheap imports. Joining us to talk about this, Mississippi Commercial Fisheries United Executive Director Ryan Bradley. Ryan, you like what you've seen so far of this bill, even though there really isn't any text. It's called the Save Our Shrimpers Act, and in your mind, it is designed to do what?
Yeah, I think it's a great bill. We hadn't seen the full text yet, but essentially,
shrimping industry used to be like, and what we see out there today. I always tell a story. When I first moved here, I went out on opening day, 3,500 boats or something. You go out now and there might be 300 or 400 boats. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this industry in danger with the next generation not interested in shrimping? Yeah.
You're supposed to be in jail.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be dumpster diving for ham scraps, you six-piece chicken McNobody.
I cannot believe that little shrimp left us behind.
I am not a shrimp. I'm a king prawn.
We're so excited to welcome one of Hollywood's brightest creative talents, the screenwriter behind this summer's blockbuster, the new Fast and the Furious movie, Fast Five. Chris Morgan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Chris. Now, Chris, these Fast and the Furious movies are just getting bigger and better. So when you sat down to write this installment, were there certain elements you wanted to include?
I want the cars to drive fast and then some of them explode.
Oh, that sounds so great. Now, believe me.
I understand Jordana Brewster is coming back for this installment.
Yeah, she's a girl and she likes to kiss, so she doesn't play with the cars, but sometimes she does, but mostly just the boys.
Now this is...
We're back with my Uncle Gary.
It's a drive.
Enter the shrimp bar.
Your transistor radio. Take it to the head, you see she got rosy colors flashing astro pop. Red.
That's Jason Eastwood's Computer Watch song. All right, sports fans, coming to you live on tape from Gary's Closet, Manitoba. It's shrimpfarm.crypto.
Excellent to be here. That song's called Casio.
Yes, Computer Watch, right?
No, Casio.
The song is called Casio.
Yes.
Did you get sued by the Casio company?
Not yet. But
did they send
it's the first
you a,
time I'm mentioning it is right now.
Did they send you a cease and desist?
Why did you say sports fans?
Why not?
Nobody's listening as a sports fan.
Of course they are.
If they were a sports fan, they would be in bed already.
Listen, there's lots of cool sports fans out there. You're just seeing this wrong.
Name me a sport that ends after midnight.
Hockey. It's playoffs.
Not after midnight.
Of course it does. It's overtime.
Right. Actually, you are correct.
You're out of your mind.
Yes.
You're just cantankerous today. You're spicy from that Indian food we had earlier.
Well, it's also marathons, right? I mean, there's 24-hour marathons that they run across the deserts and stuff. Those don't stop.
Yeah, so maybe someone running a marathon is listening to shrimpfarm.crypto right now.
Do you consider a marathon a sport is my next question.
No, I consider a marathon a 26-mile mission that started in Greece.
Okay, well, this is starting to resemble a marathon, so let's move on.
Yes, please. We were doing well up until the...
Up to you.
Talking to each other.
Yeah, and still, as soon as you started talking,
wait
the show
a
went
minute,
downhill.
Wait a minute.
But I came in and saved it with the Casio.
Nothing.
Luckily, that song Casio is resounding well in the European market.
Nothing went downhill for one. So let's.
Speaking of European market.
Please.
Tell me a little bit about your lunch today, John.
I didn't go to the European market for lunch, Jason. I had leftover pasta from Saturday night.
Oh, I am confused. You know what? I think I've stepped in the wrong show. I'm going to leave and come back. And this is what show?
This is Shrimp Farm.
Crypto. Okay.
CKUW 95.9 FM on your dial, Jason.
Perfect. Well, now that I'm glad I've got my bearings and I know where I am, I'm in Gary's Closet, Manitoba. One of the famous
Boomer bearings.
Suburbs. Boomer Bearings?
Sorry.
Boomer Bearings, yes. Boomer Barry, he will be on the show today. I think he might be talking barometers.
Barry and barometers?
Maybe not, though. Anyway, if you should stick around for the end of the show, because that's when Barry's coming on.
Don't you dare miss it. What else we got coming up this episode, Jason?
We've got all kinds of new music, some from New York, some from the Slocan Valley in British Columbia.
Very special, very special.
We're covering North America and beyond.
Jets 3.0, speaking of sports.
You were at the game last night.
I was, and it was action-packed, and we'll get to that in just a little while. But let's kick things off right now with some brand new music from the Cloud Nothings. This is called Final Summer. Right here on Shrimp Farm.
Crypto!
Come in to final summer. What's the use in trying?
brand new music from Chanel Beads with Police Scanner. Before that, we heard brand new Cloud Nothings and final summer. Jay's coming into summer. Pretty exciting.
You know, once the weather finally gets to above 10 degrees Celsius every day, I start to call it summer in Winnipeg.
When the weather gets warm like this, I think it gets me a little testy. Like, you know, I want to...
Well, you get a, you know, testosterone does rise in the body.
No. Like testy, like you want to go kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a spring thing. You want to mate, you want to fight, you want to do all those things.
So it's caveman-like.
It's very evolutionary.
Okay.
And then when winter comes, you hibernate back into the cupboard.
But no, I'm still expected to go to work.
In the winter?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should work twice as hard in the winter. You should actually work all your hours in the winter, and then you'll have summers off.
I don't think it works like that where I work.
You should phone them and ask for that kind
of hours. Give them a call?
Hours.
Well, yeah. I'll see them tomorrow in person.
I'll work 16 hours during the winter every day.
Yeah.
And I'll have summer off.
Yeah, they don't. They never would do anything like that, no.
Okay, well, maybe you should change the they.
No, they're good people.
They're great people.
We're talking about all sorts of issues this week on the show. You're listening to CKW 95.9 FM, and this happens to be shrimpfarm.crypto. We are the most unique radio program, do you realize, in your entire area. We've got all sorts of stuff happening. We come from an era, the analog relevance within the digital resonance. We come from an era of the 70s and the 80s. In the 90s, and now we're just here trying to filter some of our experience and our knowledge and our cultural...
Everything from Richard Nixon on, we've let resonate within our minds, our hearts, and our digital...
It's not just all video games and McDonald's, though, because we are trying to mine some art with some substance.
Yeah.
We're trying to find meaning in the chaos, Jason.
Yeah,
meaning in the
happy
chaos.
Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley... Count Chocula cereal. Like, tell me what that's all about.
Count Chocula is about vampirism.
That's right. Nosferatu in cartoon form.
Vampirism.
That's how they get you. They get you with a cereal.
And then they've got Frankenberry, which is the...
Yeah, and then there's Fruit Loops.
And let's not forget, Booberry was a limited one from the Ghost series.
Sugar Pops.
Yeah. And let's not forget, we're going to tempt your tummy with a taste of nuts and honey. It's a honey of an O, new Honey Nut Cheerios.
Grandma, another big bowl of nuts and honey, please.
Honey Nut Cheerios, in case you didn't realize, is a part of a balanced breakfast.
I don't think it is. I don't think that stuff is good for you. It's like...
No, this is a balance. Anybody could say this is a part of a balanced breakfast.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly
it. It's not the good part.
This is a part of a balanced breakfast. I like that.
Yes, why don't
we hear some music?
My husband was part of a balanced marriage, just not ours. Oh! What do you got for us?
Well, speaking of the advertising industry... This is a little band from Montreal called Men I Trust, right here
on shrimpfarm.crypto.
What's the like puzzle pieces floating around, trying to connect, wandering the world, seeking a soul they can't reflect.
That was Alicia Brilla with Hungry Heart.
Soulful.
Before that, we heard Men I Trust with Ring of Past. And that was funky and soulful as well, John.
It was.
They are a Canadian band. Have you been to Montreal, Quebec?
I've never been east of Ottawa.
It's quite an experience.
I mean in Canada. I've been east of Ottawa in the world.
Resta de Village, some of the best poutine.
Just beautiful people everywhere.
In the world, yeah, in the world, yeah.
Bilingualists everywhere you look.
Yeah, everywhere you look, there's two signs.
Well.
One in French and another one in French, but smaller.
Sometimes I feel like this country is tearing itself apart with the West and the East. And
it'd be nice to have more of a cohesive culture, but I guess this is what Canada is. It's just a fractured bunch of people trying to say their thing.
I just don't like that everybody gets their own opinion. Like, I wish everybody thought I can make everybody think like me because I know what's best for the world.
I agree. You know what's best for the world.
Yeah.
And I've known you for 3 or 4 days now.
So I wonder, could I hypnotize everybody or is there a way I can trick them into following me?
There is. There's the son of Ravine. He's currently out of work, and okay. He's looking for a hypnotizing reason.
You mean the man they call Ravine?
His son. I think Ravine passed away, but his son is doing Ravine hypnotism now. But he needs an idea, like a mantra, mission.
Okay.
He needs something to say.
And that's where I come in. I'll
you
exploit
tell
everything.
Him what to program the people.
We can exploit everybody, and we can get them. We can get this country at least moving in the right direction.
Yes, I will vote for you, John.
No Trudeaus, no Peter Pepper. Just this will be an Electric John.
That could be your slogan, Electric John. He knows the right hypnotist.
Once I'm in bed with Ravine Jr., there's no stopping us.
Oh, you and in bed with Ravine Jr. I don't think he's willing to go that far.
But it's a figure of speech.
Okay. Exactly, yes. Great. Well, good luck with you and Ravine. And next time I'm talking, folks, I might be under the spell of Ravine Jr.
You might end Electric John.
Well, this is the thing.
I'll be a silent partner.
He'll get credit, yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you... but. You'd want the credit, right? That's the
no.
Whole
I just want him to make sure everybody's following the mandate.
Do you want people? Do you want the country to do well, or do you want the country to do well under your ideas so you're looked at as the guy who fixed it?
I just want my mandate to be enacted.
Your mandate with Ravine. You want
No. It's not a mandate.
Okay, you're gonna have a great mandate. Anyway, stay tuned for that. We'll probably have a segment on it in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, it's the Crypto Market Report. You guys haven't done one of these in a couple of weeks. We're back with the Crypto Market Report. All kinds of exciting news coming your way this week. A segment in the farm called The Report. You know how it goes. We've been doing this since day one. Jason, recently, as in last weekend, a historic event is happening. The Bitcoin halving is upon us.
Does that mean the value of the Bitcoin is now half of what it was?
Incorrect. Let me give you an example of something. It's about supply and demand.
Can you use like cake or pie?
Yeah. Say I made a cake for the class, but only the rich kids could eat it.
What kind of cake?
It's angel food cake.
Oh, I like that one. Okay, I'm in.
With pink frosting. Now, cake only has 6 pieces, right? But all of a sudden, we halve it. We take 3 of the pieces and we put them somewhere else. Now the cake only has 3 pieces. The value of those 3 pieces goes up. Because there's 3 less pieces. This is what you call scarcity. Now, in the Bitcoin programming, right? This is in the white paper. Every 4 years, the mining rewards, the rewards that miners get for mining blocks for Bitcoin, gets cut in half. That's called the halving. And usually what it happens, mining becomes unfeasible for the miners, so then the price ends up going up, and it usually happens as a part of the bull run or in coincident with the bull run. Now, there are people like Blockchain Backer who believe that all of this is only coordinated to the Wall Street markets, right? And that everything else is just coincidental. But there's people who believe very strongly in the 4-year cycle, which kind of dictates a lot of the whole crypto market cycle. Because once Bitcoin hits the super top, then people start dumping money, cashing out and buying alts. And we have what we call alt season. And the so-called altcoins shoot up, you know, like XRP, XLM, ADA, Cardano, that sort of thing.
So where do the other 3 pieces of angel food cake go?
This is not about cake.
No, but hypothetically, if...
They just disappear. Maybe we give them to the homeless, but the class...
I like the idea of the super top. That sounds like something I'd love to climb up to.
Listen, the Bitcoin halving just happened, and that doesn't mean the price of Bitcoin is going to go up right away, but Bitcoin has been moving back up. Some of the tokens are moving back up. In the next 6 to 12 months, I mean, they're saying face-melting parabolic runs are coming. We'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, we've got something for the skeptic. This is a song, again, from our friend Lil Bubble. This is called Bitcoin Going to Zero? GFY. Now, you know what GFY means. The kids.
It means go eat yourself,
I believe you're right. Let's check it out.
I've always been deeply opposed to crypto.
Last year, cryptocurrency funded every kind of dangerous criminal.
But I would not touch crypto in a million years.
Bitcoin is going to zero.
If I was the government, I'd close it down.
People are losing money in scams and huckster flimflam artists.
These people who own these things should not own your money in any ways. I do think you're an idiot, okay?
It's over.
Go fuck yourself.
I got to get the money,
that clear?
Yes, some international language. We need to move on right now.
We don't want to talk about that language.
We'll see you next week on the Crypto Market Report.
Brand new segment, it's beat of the week.
remember the crypto gold rush of 2017. It was manic and panicked and gravy and green. Future scenes. I remember the Alamo was a place to rent cars. Constellations are just collections of stars. Used as content for people to flirt with one another in dive bars. I remember rock and roll radio with the Ramones, long before cell phones, digital bell tones, electronic feedback, headphone got bleed back, I skied back from camp. There were vampires outside the campfires asking for email addresses. They were excessively thorough, like William S. Burroughs, riding bareback on a burrow, high as a kite, crunching on churros, taking charge, watching fat gambling stacks get large. We're betting on the future, some say it's inevitable. These tasks are unenviable, that doesn't mean they're not viable. Adept to adapt, because the plan is so pliable. Doper than a duck-billed platypus, who's mad at us, we're made for this. I can't believe how much we're getting paid for this. Soon we'll get some shade for this. Who gives a shit?
Trust you. don't trust you. We still don't trust you.
Don't trust you. Brand new music from Future, Metro Boomin, and The Weeknd. And The Weeknd was incredible. I was at the Jet game.
The Weeknd was there, was he? Abel Tesfaye.
He was not at the game, no. But The Weeknd, just passed, was absolutely incredible. The Winnipeg Jets are up 1-0 against the Colorado Avalanche. And this is Jets 3.0.
Those could very well be key cornerstone players of a Jets 3.0.
All right, open your mouth and the things will come out.
I love the NHL at this time of year. It's there's always something on at night.
Yes, it's fantastic. And you can change channels. Usually there's so much going on at night. You can't keep, for the first couple of rounds, it's hard to keep up.
The first round is great because every night there's something and it's on at 6, it's on at 9, and they're questing for the cup, John.
16 teams, 8 games.
One of them must win 16 games.
Actually, not 8 games, 8 series. You know what I mean. 16 teams, 8 series.
But to complete the game, to get to the ultimate level, you must win 16 games.
That's right. Four rounds.
If you're in Canada, if you're a Winnipeg Jets and you win 16 games, you win a Stanley Cup, you will be a folk hero.
Yeah, and you'll get a fleur-de-lis flag.
Even the worst guy on the team right now, like say let's say David Gustafson, he's like sure. Gusty. One of the last.
I don't know the worst. But
you know what I'm saying? He's like number 13 sure. in the lineup. He might not even play all the games, but he'll have his name on the cup. They'll put a statue of him probably somewhere in Gary's closet.
Oh, he could probably open up a series of life insurance chains or something here.
Well, Joe Daly won the cup, the WHA Cup many times as the goalie, 3 times in the 70s.
Jets 1.0.
Now he has a card shop, which actually was broken into and somebody started a fire last
week. St. Mary's Road?
Yes.
Yes, I've been by it.
Wasn't you, was it?
No, absolutely not. But I used to haunt those places looking for Jets patches to make my own hats and stuff.
Did you ever collect cards?
We used to. I don't know if you remember this, but back when we were about grade 4, so at least 40 years ago, we would be playing in the schoolyard, and we knew one of our classmates would steal a box of hockey cards from 7-Eleven, and then she took pleasure in throwing them in scrambles and watching people pile on and fight for hockey cards.
That was funny, because she'd always, that's where she got them. I was wondering.
Yeah, she would steal them, and then she'd show up at school, and she would have scrambles and watch people murder each other trying to get hockey cards.
Yeah, because, and then we'd play the throwing game from you. Who can throw the card the farthest? You get to keep that card.
Well, the card, the best you could do is flicking. Have the card lean up against the wall.
I had a Gretzky rookie. I sold it in 1991. I went to the Stanley Cup that year.
You sold 2 of them.
I believe I did, to Richard Colt.
Originally, it was to go to Florida, but you incapacitated yourself and weren't able to go to Florida.
Yeah, I was sick.
I don't know.
Well, I had a tonsil infection, and I just kept drinking.
And smoking.
But then
there's
I went to the Stanley Cup. Yeah, the lesson is put off the Florida trip, get yourself some antibiotics, go to the hospital, and when you get out, go to the Stanley Cup.
Well, that's not a bad story.
I saw Mario Lemieux win the Stanley Cup in Minnesota North Stars' last ever game.
Well, I was at the game one last night with Ted Turner, and it was just, wow, it was a roller coaster. 13 goals and all.
Let's plug Ted's show while we're doing this here.
Oh, yes. How to Survive a Tornado.
Yes.
On Fridays at noon.
Right here on 95.9 FM.
CKUW. Check out Ted Turner and How to Survive a Tornado each and every other Friday or Friday as well at around 12 noon on Friendly CKUW. Check it out.
And we'll be back with the Jets 3.0 as long as they stay in the playoffs. So as long as the quest is alive.
We'll see you next time on Jets 3.0.
Each step is new and far.
was Terra Terra from British Columbia, the Slocan Valley area. Fabulous artist.
I know that. I enjoyed that.
The song was called Forward.
Is this somebody you know personally?
Not that I remember, but then again, it was in my playlists of people I have come across, so maybe.
It's really good.
It's been a long and adventurous life, John. And
so far, so good. Yeah, so what?
Sometimes certain things float to the top, and I don't ask why. I just put them in my mouth.
I'm ready for a whole bunch of new adventures. There's all kinds of things that are coming together. I'll be going to the Dawson City Music Fest this summer on vacation.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to enjoy that vacation. What are you going to do around Gary's Closet for a vacation? Is there local things that you like to do?
In
Winnipeg as a whole. What can people get out on a Sunday night? What can they do with themselves?
Well, Sunday night, you could go down to Portage Avenue by around Princess Auto there and see all the hot rods.
Yeah. You could park park yourself at one of those places, like a Super Value parking lot or Superstore, whatever they call it, and listen for the rippings of the engines.
Sure. You could go down to the down by the docks and get loaded. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, don't do
that. Well, no, you could. You could carry a 2.4 of extra old stock down there.
It's not a good idea. We're both, I'm Gary's Closet sober. Jason's pretty much sober.
Pretty much sober? What is this, like, is that a band?
Like, Gary's Closet Sober is like, you know, you go to a casino and you lose your step kid.
I'm 100% sober. Like, I don't even do sugar anymore.
Sugar?
No.
Doot, 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 doot.
Honey, honey.
Boomer.
Barry.
I'm here in support of the Neanderthal Cave Painters. Too long have they been maligned. All the scholars talk about, and apparently scholars are apparently art critics, they talk about the Cro-Magnon cave painters and how wonderful they are and what artists they are. The Neanderthals were the first cave painters, the first artists. And because they knew how to light a fire, they could go into the cave and do these cave paintings. I don't know why the scholars were prejudiced towards Neanderthals. Maybe it's because they looked kind of tough. They were muscular. Yeah, the men could bench lift 500 pounds, the women about 350. But they had a large brain, apparently larger than modern man's brain, and they could do these complex things. And I'll tell you something about the Cro-Magnon men that these scholars support. They did their cave paintings in these deep caves. And what happens when you go into a deep cave is when you're deprived of oxygen, you get a high. And so these Cro-Magnon men were not artists. I don't know if they were men and women, but they were going in there to get high. The Neanderthals were truly creative artists that were doing it for the sake of art. And so let's give credit to the Neanderthal cave painters and let's not just hear about the Cro-Magnon cave painters all the time.
So wait a second. Boomer Barry is pissed off at dinosaur people?
He's pissed off at a certain segment of the dinosaur people. And he talks about them like they're offended, even though they've been out of the planet for the consciousness here and the physical reality anyway, for, look, I'd say over 100,000 years.
How much do you know about the Land of the Lost?
Well, I've seen Planet of the Apes.
You know Land of the Lost, where they go on the boat in the river and they end up in dinosaur land?
Yes, I know of it. I can't remember the film.
Yeah, and then these sleaze stacks. It wasn't a film. It was on every Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, it was a cartoon. Okay.
No, it was real life. It was a real life show on Saturday morning cartoons called Land of the Lost
in the
70s.
Mutual of Old Omaha's.
No. Will and Holly, they all get in this whitewater raft, and it goes out of control down these rapids, and they end up in the Land of the Lost, and there's dinosaurs there. They live in a cave, and a tarantula is always trying to kill them. And then there's a bunch of these lizard people called sleaze stacks that they have to kind of avoid too, that are in this whole area, and they have all sorts of weekly adventures brought to you by the good people, Sid and Marty Croft, the Sid and Marty Croft Superstore, Super Show, H&R Puff and Stuff. Those are those guys.
I'm glad I missed that one.
Anyway, we go on and on and on. We pretty much wrapped this up. There's brand new music from the Melvins from a record called Tarantula Heart. Right now, she's got weird arms. Before we just want to say that next week, we won't see you. You'll hear us.
Osborne, famously married to Roxy Roker from the Jeffersons.
Nobody heard of Roxy Roker before. What's his name made of rock and roll?
Oh, you're right. That great song by Rod Stewart. Roxy Roker.
No, that's Sweeney Todd, Roxy Roller.
And she was also Lenny Kravitz's mother.
Yeah, but we didn't know who she was until we heard about
Kravitz's mother.
You heard about the Lenny Kravitz thing. And it's not like I knew who the people in the Jeffersons were. I did, but I don't remember somebody called Roxy Roker. And did she play what's his name's wife?
Lenny Roker.
No, I thought
Tom.
Was he white? Tom was white.
There was a neighbor called